honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our 800th episode. When a program director named Skip Essick gave us the green light for episode numero uno, I don't think any of us were sure how it was going to be received. What a blessing it's been to bring these veteran stories to you over the years. We're hoping for 800 more. And in a moment, I'm going to give you a sneak peek of our next episode, one of the most amazing World War II survival stories I've heard. But first, I want to play for you what they refer to as the teaser for a new project called Retold World War II. Sometimes we're afraid to talk about things until they're a finished product, and this isn't finished quite yet. But I've always viewed this as we're all in this together. It was listeners of this program who encouraged me to start an honor flight in Central California where I live, and we talked about that here on the radio before it ever became a reality. A decade later, Central Valley Honor Flight is about to pass 1,700 veterans taken to Washington, D.C., and if you're in my neck of the woods, you can welcome the latest crop of veterans home on September 13th. And here's another opportunity for you to help us take an idea from concept to reality. I was approached by some friends with experience in the world of audio drama about turning some of these World War II veteran stories into a podcast in which their firsthand accounts combine with scripted dialogue and the best voice actors in the business to bring their stories to life in a whole new way, a way in which young people might more readily engage and thus absorb a new perspective on the price of freedom. Here's a little taste of what Retold World War II will sound like.
First place, we started off, you're right, at 25, and then they raised it to 30. And then after 30, they said, you know, we'll never fly more than 35. And they were certainly right in my case, because, you know, if we do get the crews in, we were still losing a lot of crews, you know, you will not have to go to the 35th mission. Well, we did. And the 35th mission, which was our last, really and truly was our last.
All right, you apes, let's dump these eggs so I can go home back to Betsy.
I've been meaning to tell you, Russia.
Don't call me Russia.
I got a letter from your Betsy. Something about some 4F guy down the street named Charlie.
Aren't you a ray of sunshine?
Hey, I do my best.
How do you get by without your mommy rocking you to sleep every night?
You worked all day on that one, didn't you?
You guys. Every mission, the same thing.
Hey, he started it.
All right, listen up, fellas. This is a milk run, quick and simple. After this, we've done enough missions to go home.
Sounds good to me.
But the Jerrys, well, they don't know that. They're gonna be right on our tail the whole time, understood?
What did I ever do to them?
Probably annoyed them, like you do everyone else.
All right, here we go. Stay frosty, boys. Keep your eyes and ears open.
Yes, sir.
What happened is there was several bursts of flak, and we got hit on our number one and number two engine, and the hydraulic system failed.
We're hit. We're hit. Time to bail. I'll hold her as long as I can. See you on the deck.
Old days.
Everything was failing. There was fire coming into the ship. So we had to bail out. I was in the nose of the plane, so I jumped through the nose wheel door. And fortunately, every one of us got out of the plane before it exploded. I got rid of my dog tags because I'm Jewish, and it had H on there. So, knowing where I was going, I decided the best thing I could do was get rid of my dog tags because they were shooting at me as I was coming down, so there was no way they could say I was a spy that they had picked up in the country. And I did land right in the German front lines, and I was captured immediately.
Get down on the count. Put your
Nick
hands
Schiessen.
In the air.
Nick Schiessen!
Who are you, American? What is your mission?
Stavrov, Irwin, Lieutenant, T-163-342.
Where are your dog tags, Stavrov? Are you a spy?
Stavrov, Irwin, Lieutenant, T-163-342.
Listen to me, Lieutenant Stavrov. Your mother's name is Bertha. Your father's is Max. You have a brother and
how do you know? Stavrov, Irwin, Lieutenant, T-163-342.
Oh, that's right. I know all about you. You lived on Claremont Avenue in Buffalo, New York, huh? You attended public school number 56, and I know your homecoming date was a brunette named Betsy Parker. And best of all, I know you are a Jew, right, Lieutenant?
What? How could you? No. My name is Stavrov Irwin, T-163-342.
Germany welcomes you, Lieutenant Stavrov. I'm afraid for you, the war is over.
So again, that's the teaser for Retold World War II, a work in progress that will require some funding if indeed the top talent in the audio drama field are going to participate. I believe God's plans are always better than our plans, and his timing is perfect. And if you'd like to be part of making that project a reality, you can visit retoldpodcast.com. I also have it linked at hometownheroesradio.com. So we're putting it out there, and we will see what happens. One thing I know will happen is next week when you turn into Hometown Heroes for episode number 801, you're going to hear one of the craziest survival stories you've ever tried to fathom from 97-year-old Richard Burbine of Bridgeport, California. Here's just a few minutes to whet your appetite. He was in the Merchant Marines serving aboard the last American ship to be sunk by German aircraft in World War II, the SS Henry Bacon.
February 23rd, 1945, the ship was 60 miles from the normal convoy. We hit a severe storm that destroyed our steering mechanism. The rudder and the main springs from the hydraulics split and broke. My job was at the time was pick up that 150-pound spring, put it back on, try to hold it in place while they were navigating the ship. We were a hazard to the convoy, so we had to drop out of the convoy. We were by ourselves 60 miles away from the convoy. So if anything happened, they would get us, but they would not destroy the convoy. And that's what happened. The KG-26 found us with 23 Ju-88 torpedo bombers, one solid, solitary ship. It was touch and go. What they did was they flew left or port or starboard of the ship. One row would float down the left or the starboard or port side of the ship and strafe everything one way. The other one would come in the other direction and strafe the other way. So consequently, when they did torpedo us, they hit us in number 5 hole and blew the whole side of the ship out at that point. And we were under general armor for that time, and everybody's at their battle stations and whatnot. So what happened was, after blowing a hole into the ship, we had a matter of minutes before the ship was going to sink, because as the ship was going down, it was blowing the bulkheads out between the hatches and so on. And I was ordered by the chief engineer, Donald Haviland, my chief engineer. He was a full commander, 3-striper, to get into the lifeboat. And the lifeboats were all shot to pieces, except for that one lifeboat was still in fairly good shape. It had a few holes in it, strafe holes in it, but it was still seaworthy. The other ones were just about shattered. So he ordered me in there to cut the lanyards, because it was frozen to the davits of the lifeboat. You see what davits are? Mm-hmm. And the lines were frozen to it, so the lifeboat would not go down by itself mechanically. So I got in the lifeboat with a fire axe, and I chopped one line down, and the stern was okay. just as I was cutting the bow of the lifeboat, a sea hit us, and I went the lifeboat and I went over the side. Well, when I came to, I was in the bow of the lifeboat, and the lifeboat come down the back of my neck, and I still have that hump in my neck to this day. But anyway, I came to in the lifeboat, kicked my sea boots out, and I was able to right the lifeboat. The lifeboat was upside down. I was able to right it. And consequently, that's where they put all the Norwegian 19 women and 19 children. The list is up there. Into the lifeboat, and they wanted me to get in. Well, I knew that was crazy. If I got in that lifeboat, I would freeze almost instantaneously because I was soaking wet. So I said, no, I will not get in a lifeboat, and I stayed in the water. And I got the picture of the life ring, that I was able to get the life ring. And during all this commotion, I would, 1 minute I'd be 60, 80 feet in the air on top of a wave, on the crest of a wave, and the wave would break and I'd be down 60 feet below the water line. And I saw two seamen, a friend of mine, and I was able to push the lifeboat, swim with the lifeboat over to them, and I was able to save both of them. One of his name was William Wildridge, and the other one was Woodrow Wilson Posen, and one Navy gunner by the name of Warren Batchelor. And I was able to save all three of them. So, and when they picked us up, they took them aboard. When they dropped me on the deck, my eyes opened. They said, my God, they're still alive. And that's how they knew we were all still alive.
And that is just the tip of the iceberg. No pun intended. We're going to hear that entire story next time as we embark on what I hope will be another 800 episodes. Thanks for sticking around for the first 800. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.